with you this morning. I'll encourage you to turn them with us to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 31. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 31, is where we'll take our text verse from today. With today being Mother's Day, there's a little doubt the subject that I wanted to preach on this morning. So we'll find our text in Proverbs 31, we'll begin reading in verse number 10. If you'd like to stand with us, I'll invite you to do that at this time. We'll read verse 10 down through the remainder part of the chapter, and then you please leave your Bible open. We'll return to the text and preach to you what God has laid on our heart this morning. The infallible text says in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And that's our thought for this morning. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exalteth them all. Faith is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Father, we appreciate the opportunity that you've given us to be here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in these few moments to be able to say something that would be an encouragement to these people. God, I pray for the mothers that are gathered together in this congregation today. What a great thing that call of mother is. And Lord, we appreciate them and we're thankful for the dedication they've given to their families and their homes and their gods. And I pray you bless them for their service. God, encourage them this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And you can be seated. Amen. As I said, with today being Mother's Day, there's little doubt the subject that I wanted to preach on this morning. I believe, and I really mean this, I believe that the subject of mother is one of the greatest subjects, not only in the Bible, but in the entire world. If you study the pages of the Bible, you'll discover that oftentimes God chooses men and tells a story of faithful men of God who caught giants and spoke to angels and perform great acts of faith. However, the Bible is also full of stories of godly women and godly mothers. Amen. This week my mind went to the praying Hannah, who prayed earnestly that God would give her a child. And God heard her prayer, and God answered her prayer and gave her a child. And that same God mother would, a few days later, bring her child back and dedicate him to God. And her child Samuel would be one of the greatest prophets the nation of Israel would ever know. I thought about the courageous Esther as Esther stood in her appointed place and delivered her people from the wicked Haman. I thought about the godly, faithful Ruth, who stood against great odds and determined that she would live for God. And because she did, one godly woman turned her family history around. This woman became the grandmother of the greatest king that Israel would ever know, King David. It is interesting, I thought about this, it is interesting that when God wanted to choose a human vessel by which He would bring His Son into the world, God chose a woman and He made her a mother. It is interesting that God did not choose a man and made him a father, but God chose a woman and He made her a mother. The subject of mother is certainly a great Bible subject, but it goes beyond the pages of the Bible. History could not tell all the stories of mothers who kissed bumps and bruises, mothers who helped to mend broken hearts, fed hungry mouths, brushed tangled hair, and prayed their children to God. Amen. There's little doubt that mother is one of the greatest forces in the world. Abraham Lincoln one time said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." And I would agree with that, wouldn't you? Napoleon Bonaparte once said, "Let France have great mothers, and France will have great sons." And I would agree with that. I believe that Solomon would agree with that as he writes Proverbs chapter number 31. I want to draw your attention to the thought that Solomon gives us in this text. While these are the words of Solomon, they are technically the words of his mother. You discover in verse number 1 that this is King Lemuel and the prophecy of his mother. This is Bathsheba's words in chapter number 31. And in this passage, Bathsheba gives instruction to Solomon about how to find a virtuous woman. If the force of a mother is one of the greatest forces in the world, then how great is the responsibility for you to be a godly mother? In this passage, we read about a virtuous woman. The word virtuous in this passage means to be a woman of character. It means to be a woman of strength, a woman of reliability. Unfortunately, this is lost in the translation into English, but this text was so important that if you study the 22 verses relating to mother in chapter 31 in the original Hebrew, you'll discover that every verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You know, we teach our children sometimes Bible verses. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. C, confess your sins. And on we teach our children these Bible verses that way. I can almost picture in my mind some Jewish mother sitting down with her daughter and teaching her these verses. A, how to be a virtuous woman. And she would give her one of these verses, Alpha and Omega, and so on. She's teaching her, that's actually Greek, I didn't realize that. But she's teaching her daughter these verses through the alphabet because it was of utmost importance for young women to know what it was to be a virtuous woman and a godly mother. And so Solomon wrote it this way so they could even memorize these verses and know what it was to be a godly woman. Can I say, and I'll get into my message, can I say that our world is desperate for some godly mothers? In a day and hour in which mothers are leaving their children, if you can say, I use that term loosely, they're leaving their children in garbage cans, leaving them at adoption agencies, and oh my, they're taking them to abortion clinics. In a day and hour in which we're living, we can use some godly mothers, could we not? I want to give you three thoughts. I'm preaching this morning on the topic, the great value of a godly mother. The great value of a godly mother. Let me show you three things about this woman in chapter 31, and we'll be finished. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to see her confidence. I want you to see her confidence. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of trouble. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Solomon begins in verse 10 by asking us a question. He asks in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? That question seems to indicate that a virtuous woman was a rarity in Solomon's day. It seems as though a virtuous woman just wasn't found on every street corner in the cities of Israel. There was probably many godly women, or good women, I should say. There were probably many good women in Israel, but there were not many virtuous women in Israel. And Solomon says, who can find a virtuous woman? He says, she is so rare that her price is like that of rubies. In this day, rubies were considered like the way we consider diamonds today. Can you imagine the way those miners go into those caves and dig into those mountains, and they dig and they dig and they search, Brother James, so they can find that one stone of great value. And when they find it, they highly treasure, highly prize it. It is valuable. They searched and found that thing of great value. Well, now Solomon's saying a virtuous woman like that, she is to be sought for. She is hard to find. But when you find her, very valuable. I would agree with that, wouldn't you? In order to help us spot this virtuous woman, Solomon gives us some clues on how to find her. If she's rare and she's hard to find, then Solomon wants us to be able to spot her out and point her out and pick her out. And so he gives us some clues about this godly woman. He says in verse 11 that a virtuous woman, she holds the confidence of her husband. A virtuous woman is one that securely finds confidence in her husband. Notice this, because of her confidence, I can see her spool. Do you see it in verse 11? And he shall have no need of spool, Solomon tells us. Because of the confidence, the husband has no need of spool. Now, I think we can think about this. First of all, we can think of it like this. Oftentimes, in the pages of the Bible, a spool referred to money, does it not? Is that not what a spool refers to? When an army would overthrow a city or a village or another army, they would take a spool of them. They would take their goods and they would take their possessions. They would take those valuable things. Now Solomon says in verse 11 that this woman is virtuous because she has the confidence of her husband and he doesn't need spool, Solomon says. Now I probably should have saved this for the end, because those of you that I still have your attention, I'm probably going to lose you right here. But can I say that a virtuous woman will have the confidence of her husband when it comes to the finances of the household? Ha ha. Two men said amen, and the rest of you are too chicken to. Amen. The woman that is a virtuous woman, she won't go on a shopping spree when she knows that there are bills to pay and groceries to buy. Now, this doesn't mean that a godly woman won't buy anything for herself. Absolutely. But it does mean that she's faithful to God and she's faithful to family when it comes to her finances. Amen. But I think there's a deeper meaning than that. I think there's a deeper meaning. The Bible says, notice, it says, he hath no need of spool. I believe the writer is telling us that a good woman is more valuable to her husband than great treasures. In fact, verse 12 reaffirms this truth by saying, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I believe as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit, a good wife will be a great treasure to her husband and to her family. In fact, I believe a wife completes her husband. I've said it so many times, I feel like a broken record. But when God looked down in that perfect area, that perfect place, the Garden of Eden, and he saw that man in that perfect environment by himself, he still said something about that is not right. There is something missing in his life. There's a missing part, a missing half, a missing link. He said he has everything that he could ever want, but there's still something missing. And God in His wisdom and God in His goodness, for the first time in all of creation, looked at Adam and He said, it's not good. It is not good for him to be alone. And so Adam took a God took a rib out of Adam and made him something that would complete him, walk beside him, fulfill the needs of his life, make him a better man and a better person. And He made him a wife. She later become a mother. I believe a godly wife. And sir, you better shout amen right here. A godly wife is better to you than a bank account full of money. Amen. That's exactly right. There have been times where we had a little bit of money, and there have been times we've been broke. But I'm glad I've had a wife that stood next to me every step of the way. Amen. Boy, we say in our wedding vows, for rich or poor, better or worse, till death do us part. We don't mean that half the time. But a godly woman to her husband is greater than great treasures. Amen. That's exactly right. She is his helpmeet. She is his treasure. She is his great spoil. She has the confidence of her husband because of her spoil. But not only that, let her be. I see not only her spoil, but I see safety. Look at verse 11 again. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Notice in verse 11, the husband doesn't just trust in his wife, but when he's got a virtuous wife, he can safely trust in her. That means that his trust in her is justified. He is safe in trusting his wife. He is safe in their relationship because she's a godly woman. She's a good woman. She's a virtuous woman. So he can safely trust in her. Can I say a virtuous woman is one that would never think of double-crossing her husband? She has made a commitment to him, and she intends to fulfill that commitment all the days of her life. In fact, notice how long she will do him good and not evil in verse 12. Do you see how long it is? It's all the days of her life. She'll do him good. He can trust her as long as she lives. He knows she ain't stepping out on him. He knows she ain't doing things that she ought not be doing. He knows that when he leaves her home with the kids, she's going to feed the kids, and she's going to take care of the kids, and she's going to take care of the home. He knows that he can put all of his trust in all of his issues in her because she's a virtuous woman. He can trust her. He is safe in trusting her. She has made a commitment to him. She means, said a second ago, we've said until death do us part. And oftentimes we don't mean that in our society. We say good or evil, but we don't mean that. Sickness and health, but we oftentimes don't mean that. We make that commitment, but if something doesn't go just exactly the way we want it to go, we easily break that commitment. You know, here's the reality. And anybody that's been married any length of time, you know this. The reality is that none of us are perfect. And when we make that commitment that we can safely trust in each other, that means that I'm going to have some faults and she's going to have some faults, but we're going to overlook those faults and be committed to each other and love each other. Amen? Somebody once said that being married to somebody is like buying a record that's got a single on it. You buy the record for what's on side A, and you just get what you get on side B. Hey, you marry somebody because you love them. Because you can live with them because they're your friend, they're your better half. Sometimes you just got to take what's on side B. We're not all perfect, amen? But I see her confidence. She is a virtuous woman because the confidence. There is safety in their relationship. I see not only her confidence, but let me show you too. I see her chore. I see her chore. Verse 13 begins a series of verses that list out all the chores that this woman is responsible for. Every time I read this list in Proverbs 31, I can't help but thinking of that old saying, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. I believe that Solomon would agree with that. We could go through these one by one and see everything that this woman does, but instead I want you to see it two ways. I want you to see this about this virtuous woman and her chore. I want you to see that she's a prepared woman. She is prepared. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed scarlet. Can I say, as I begin to look over this list, I see a preparedness on the part of this woman. She's prepared because she's a woman of ability. She makes sure that she works and that her family is cared for. In verse 13, she's working with wool and flax. In verse 14, she's finding good deals and making trades. In verse 15, she's preparing meals for a household. In verse 16, she's working in a field. In verse 19, she has her hand on the spindle. She's a woman of ability. She's prepared because she's a working woman. I would say she's a woman that cares. She cares for the sick, and she cares for the scared, and she cares for the slumbering. In verse 15, she rises and gives meat by night. That means that if somebody is in her household and they are hungry or they have a need, it doesn't matter what time of the night it is. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. She's mocked, so she gets up and she takes care of them in her household. In verse 18, says that her candle doesn't go out by night. That means that she is willing to rise in the night. If that is what the family needs, if that is what it takes to care for her household. Can I say that it's usually mama that calms the fears of that young child when they've had a bad dream. It's usually mama that wakes up and sits by the bedside when the child is running a fever or has an upset stomach, sick. It's usually mom. You know why? There's just something inside of her. Her candle out by night. Mom doesn't, you can test this, ladies. Mom doesn't get to punch out at 5 o'clock, does she? She's a woman of ability. She's a caring woman. She's a generous woman. Her first priority is her household and her family, but she doesn't turn her back on someone else that's in need. And this amazes me. Watch this in verse 22. In the midst of everything that she does, she still has time to take care of herself. She makes tapestries and her clothing is silk and purple, I believe it says. She still has time for herself to take care of herself in verse 22. I can hear somebody this morning say, "Preacher, there's no way I can do all that. I can't live up to that." Can I remind you of something that Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say? Dr. Rogers used to say, it's better to reach for an ideal and miss it than to aim for mediocrity and hit it squarely. I put this down in notes. Mom, there are going to be days when you get discouraged. There are going to be days when it seems like you can't get anything accomplished. There are going to be days when it seems like if that sweet angel of yours says, "Mama, one more time," you're going to scream. There will even be days when you'll tell yourself, "I am the worst mother in the whole world." I don't think this woman in chapter 31 was perfect. You know why I know she wasn't perfect? Because she was human just like human. I believe that what made this woman so great is she just kept always pressing forward. She never gave up. She was a powerful influence of her home, and because of that, she always looked to tomorrow. And boy, she may have had a bad hair day today, She may have had one of those days when nothing went right, when it seemed like every time she turned around there was cereal on the floor, when every time she looked there was a nose to wipe and a hind end to go with it. And she couldn't even go to the bathroom because they'd look under the door and say, "Mama!" And she'd say, "I don't know if I can take another day like today." But with God as her strength, she woke up tomorrow and she charged forward another day and took care of the needs of her household. She was a prepared woman because she was always looking to the future. Not only was she a prepared woman, but she was a positive woman. Verse 26 says, "She openeth her mouth in wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Notice that she's not only prepared, she's positive. In her tongue is the law of kindness. The virtuous woman is a positive woman, a wise woman, a loving woman, and a kind woman. Solomon says her mouth is full of wisdom and kindness. You know what that tells me? It tells me if her mouth is full of that, then her mouth has no room for gossip. And for idle talk that she has no business partaking in. She's a woman that is wise in what she says. You'll find kindness in her mouth. Oftentimes we misunderstand what kindness is. You know what this world thinks kindness is? This world thinks kindness is somebody telling you what you want to hear all the time. That's what they perceive as kindness. But the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, sometimes mother having to be mother has to say things that we don't want to hear. Isn't that right? And it's not because she's not a good mom and not because she doesn't love you. It's because she is a good mom and she does love you that she sometimes says things that you don't want to hear. But you know, something I've discovered, Brother James, is there are some things that only mama can say to us. And it means that only mama can say them. And mama could say something to you that if somebody else said it, you'd think, who do they think they are saying that to me? But because she's mama, and you know she loves you, she can say some things. And you know she's got your best interest at heart. Amen? You see, in her mouth is wisdom. And in her mouth is kindness. I see this mother in her confidence. I see this mother in her chore. But can I give you probably the greatest thing about this mother? And I'll be finished. I want you to see her character. Look at verse 30 with me, please. Deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. Over the past few minutes, we've discussed several things that make a woman, a virtuous woman, so great. But I believe this final thought is the greatest of them all. She has a godly character. In fact, I want you to see her fear in verse 30. It says, a woman that feareth the Lord. She shall be praised. Can I say, ma'am, the greatest trait that you can have as a mother is to be a godly mother. According to verse number 30, beauty is vain. And in fact, the verse teaches that beauty eventually fades away. But that godly character that goes with you all the days of your life, I thought about this. You could go to your local Walmart and they would have an aisle full of magazines teaching our young women how to apply makeup, what kind of clothes to wear, how to do their hair, how to be more beautiful. But you won't find one magazine that'll teach them how to love God, serve God, and be a virtuous woman. Boy, we've got things so twisted, don't we? All of those things are meaningless and they'll fade away. godly character, that godly character will impact you. In fact, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, inner beauty is so much more powerful than outer beauty that inner beauty could even win a husband to God if he wasn't saved. Amen. Dr. J. Vernon McGee had just a way of saying things sometimes. Dr. McGee said this. He said, every young man should look for a Christian young woman. And if she's good looking, that's just a bonus. Amen. You see, the fear of the Lord is the greatest thing that you can have. I thought about something. I thought about Ruth. Ruth was a godly woman, was she not? The Bible says that Ruth leaves the Moab with Naomi and comes back to Bethlehem, Judah. She's in the field of Boaz for some time, and Boaz says this in chapter 3, verse 4, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Amen. Wait a minute, this is what Boaz said. Boaz said, Ruth, everybody in this town knows that you're a virtuous woman. Now think about something with me. I never read one time where Ruth told anybody she was a virtuous woman. She never said it. She never told anybody, Brother James, about her decision in Moab to follow God and live for God. She never said it. Never told anybody about it. There wasn't anybody to tell. She didn't know anybody in Bethlehem, Judah. She was a stranger. But you know what Ruth did? Ruth just worked. Worked every day. Ruth had a godly character. Ruth just made up her mind that she was going to serve God. Made up her heart, determined in her heart she's going to serve God. And she just lived for God every day. She worked and lived for God and trusted God every day and every day. And all of a sudden, these people that when she first come to, she's from Moab. Just because she lived for God every day, eventually, that's one of the most virtuous women in all of this place. I see her fear, but last of all, I see her favor. Verse 28, her children rise up and call blessed. Her husband, he praiseth her. I want to show you this, and I'm done. A godly mother is worthy of praise. Amen. Let me say, first of all, to those of you who are here this morning and you still have your mother with you, you should praise her. Amen. Tell her that you're thankful for her. Tell her that you love her. But can I say, and listen to me, please. If your mother is still alive, listen to me, please. The greatest way that you can honor your mother is to live for God yourself. Amen. She ain't going to turn flowers and chocolate down. But she would rather have you raise your children in the house of God like she raised you in the house of God. That's what she wants. Let me also say this. A woman should be praised. And it may be you're a mother here this morning and you raised your children in church. You tried to show them the fear of God and live in the nurture and the admonition of God. You tried to raise them upright. And it seems like you're struggling right now because your child has gone astray. Can I say, don't give up hope? Look at verse 25. It says, strength and honor her clothing, and she shall rejoice when? In time to come. You know what that seems to indicate to me? It seems to indicate that she might not be rejoicing right now. But she's going to keep living for God. And she's going to keep serving for God. She's going to stay with that godly care, godly conduct. She's going to keep on keeping on for God. Because it may be that one day down the road she gets to rejoice. A little boy was in a Sunday school presentation in his church. And at one point the little fellow was supposed to quote a particular Bible verse assigned to him. But when his time came, he looked around at all those people and his mind went blank. And as he stood there, his mother leaned over from the front row and began to whisper and get his attention. But he couldn't understand her. Finally, Mom leaned over and said, "I am the light of the world." And the little boy's face brightened and he held his chest back and he said to the audience, "My mother is the light of the world." Mom, see it right now. But if you're a godly mother, you're serving God, I believe those children could stand up and testify and say, "My mother is the light of the world." Amen. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I know that a message like this is specific to Mother's Day, but you know, the reality is that there should be a challenge inside of every Christian's heart. Mother specifically this morning, but every child of God should have a determination inside of them that they are going to be a godly man, godly woman. Let me say first of all to you mothers that are here today, we love you and we appreciate you. And it may seem like that you're not getting the praise you deserve today. It may be that lately you've been having those days where I've been talking about that seems like nothing's going right. Maybe you just want to come pray for some strength and say, "God, give me strength to be a prepared woman and keep living for you." Maybe you've got a child that's gone astray and you want to come and pray, say, "God, help me to keep living for you so they can see you in me." But most, can I say to the mother that's here this morning, and you're maybe not where you need to be with God. Maybe there's something lacking in your life. I believe Mother's Day today would be the greatest day to come down here to this altar and say, "God, make me a virtuous woman. I will determine today to raise my kids in church. I want them to have the same opportunity to be saved that I had. I want them the same opportunity to live for God that I had. And this morning I will make the determination that I will change paths and I will live for God." That'll be the greatest decision you ever make. While we wait for just a moment, whatever your need is, these altars are open. If you need to come pray, I want you to come pray right now.